The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the crowds, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which someone has found. He hides it again, goes off happy, sells everything he owns, and buys the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great value, he goes and sells everything he owns and buys it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea that brings in a haul of all kinds. When it is full, the fishermen haul it ashore. Then, sitting down, they collect the good ones in a basket and throw away those that are no use. This is how it will be at the end of time. The angels will appear and separate the wicked from the just to throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. Have you understood all this?" They said, "Yes." And he said to them, "Well then, every scribe who becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his storeroom things both new and old." The Gospel of the Lord. We're all familiar with the people who comb our beaches and our fields with their metal detectors, searching for what they hope is some hidden treasure. And we do hear of some amazing finds, some going way, way back into sometimes almost prehistory. When I hear this gospel, I was very conscious of the church when I was in London at Old St Pancras Church. It's the medieval church behind the railway station that bears its name, of course, and roots going back earlier to the time of, before the time even of St Augustine. But after the Civil War in Cromwell's day, all the church silver, which was an old chalice, an old pattern, and a large flagon of wine, very large it was, dating from Queen Elizabeth's time in 1598, they were all buried in the churchyard. And no one found them, and that was in, as I said, that was in 1650s. No one found them again until they were bringing the line into St Pancras station in the 1860s. And there they unearthed all this old Pancras thing. And it was interesting, it had St Pancras in the Fields, F-Y-L-D-E-S, like St Martin in the Fields, St Giles in the Fields. So it's just interesting because it brings it all back that there it was buried, but then, surprised they all were then by joy, surprised by joy, which is of course the title of a spiritual autobiography of C.S. Lewis, who was, you may know, professor of Oxford and was converted to Christianity during his time there, and during with that a friendship of J.R.R. Tolkien, of course, who was a Catholic. Later in life, he married Joy Davidman, but only for a short time, for she died of cancer after 4 years. But and people that bring the book think, oh, it must be about their relationship, but it isn't. It's about what the gospel's about tonight. It's about the joy that he had on discovering, as it were, the treasure in the field or the pearl of great price, his encounter with Jesus. And then Pope Francis, when in his first apostolic exhortation to us, in his first year as Pope, Evangelii Gaudium begins, the joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept his offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. With Christ, joy is constantly born anew. So all that links, you see, with those first two little parables that Jesus told, the treasure and the pearl of great price. But he, of course, is that treasure, is that pearl. And what surprise fills the two in the story, even though they don't yet possess it, because the one that finds the treasure buries it again, goes off and binds the field, the pearl of great price. He sells everything he has in order he can afford to get the pearl of great price. So they're filled with that joy before they fully possess the joy. Just a glimpse is enough. And Jesus makes the point that the person is willing to put everything aside in their life if only they can obtain that treasure, which is, of course, him. In a contrast, of course, to another part of the gospel, where you remember that young man, it says he was a rich young man that came to Jesus, and what must I do to inherit eternal life? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. He couldn't do it. He glimpsed Jesus, but he hadn't got the courage to bring himself to give everything up. But whether we're new to the faith, or whether we've tried it and have lived it most, if not all, of our life, every time we hear the Gospels, it's coming fresh and new to us. And in this lockdown strange time that we're in, there's still treasure, there's still something to come from the Lord. I was still surprised at the joy of believing, the joy of belonging. When we longing to be together again, which we were in the first time we came back. Or the joy of finding Jesus, or rather that he has found us. I very know very often, sometimes it's at funerals, but not necessarily at funerals, people often say, especially in times of crisis or at the end of life, thank God that we've got faith, that we've got the Lord. And how sad we feel for the people who haven't got any faith or manage without it. But the joy in the gospel passage and motivates the two that find these things to reorder their priorities to ensure the treasure, the pearl, becomes their own. And for that we need the wisdom that comes through Solomon. Lockdown and the continuation of not normal times has given us many opportunities to reflect on many, many things. But maybe we've time to reflect on too, on Jesus, that word of God that's always there with us. Jesus, wherever he went, brought joy through his forgiveness, through his healings, through his teachings. And sometimes that can come as a fresh, new, surprising conversion after maybe years of patient seeking. Sometimes the penny drops, doesn't it? Or something different occurs. And lockdown can give all that to us as well. And then the next parable, Jesus, the dragnet. If there's a word that can be used to sort of think of that, I think the word is Catholic, actually. The dragnet shows, as last week, how here on earth, saint and sinner live side by side. We're dragged in one way or another. We can be separated, of course, by the angels at the end of time, on the last day, just as the fishermen separate the good and the bad, but the time of separation is not yet. We know our own lives are shot through with good and bad. We know other people's lives equally shot through with the good and bad. The separation isn't yet, because we're still in the boat. We're still sailing in the bark of Peter. We're still charting very choppy waters. And indeed, they are choppy times today. And of course, equally, there's always the storms of criticism a-blowing. And the boat is full of all things and kinds and types. And what we need most of all is balance. Not to be tossed about too much, but balance. That's what Solomon prays for. In a sense, wisdom, but what wisdom gives, of course, is balance, discerning judgment. Wisdom, the first of them listed as the gifts of the Spirit we receive in confirmation. Joy, the second fruit of the Spirit, when we've had the gifts in what we bear, that joy. Of course, were we singing today, I'm quite sure one of the hymns would be thou my vision, be my wisdom, my best thought, my breastplate, my armour, my treasure, thou art. And you see how that 8th century It's an 8th century hymn, that, going back all those centuries. Irish hymn, of course. But it picks up so much from today's readings. Throughout the psalm that we had, the key theme is the blessing given to the worshipper by the very fact of God's law. And that brings us joy. It's a burden, not a joy, he says. True wisdom, then faith in the keeping of God's law. And take confidence also from St. Paul. In the opening of that second reading, God turns everything to good, to those who believe. And we can't always see, because it's a paradox. The great paradox of the Christian faith, the great paradox of life, the assertion of the almighty power of God, and yet at the same time, the free choice of the individual believer. Not that we've got a lot of choice about certain things these days. You've all got your masks on and all that. And it's how strange how these things are happening. But the Almighty turns everything to our good. And we can always see and always look each day, at the end of each day, what good has come out of the maze that life can be. I think one of the great things about our church is also the wisdom of the ages. I did speak last week about the fact that the church thinks usually in terms of years or even centuries, rather than just tossed about by the wind of the latest thing coming at us. And that's part of the wisdom which gives balance to the port and the starboard, between left and right, between progressive and conservative, between first world, second world, and third world. The ability to hold opposites, as it were, together in the one place and in balance. Bishop Robert Barron calls that vibrant paradoxes, one of the books he wrote. And he points out they're the both and of Catholicism rather than either or. It's both and, held in tension, held in balance with the Lord. Union of contraries. Grace and nature, faith, reason, scripture, tradition, body, soul, in a way that's full of energy for each opposing element remaining in its place. All of it seen through the treasure that Jesus is. They come to bring that joy, that new light, unto every direction. Christ of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.